Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
That we would be a church, say it with me, that we would be a church that would be pursuing God, engaging each other, and impacting the community. Your vision is so good, it's not even up there right now. But good job, way to track with me. But God wants us to have impact. And God wants to have impact in our lives, but also God wants you to impact lives. Amen. He wants you to, let me just say this. He wants you to impact lives in a life-giving way, right? I think we better preface that. But anyway, he wants you to impact lives. He wants his church to impact lives. That God wants you, listen to me, God wants you to know victories. Victories, God wants you, he has new victories for you to win. Let me say it that way. Places where you haven't known victory, places where you've known defeat, God wants to bring victory into those. He wants to impact those situations. Places where you haven't seen fruitfulness in your life, God wants to impact those areas and bring fruitfulness through those areas. That there would be life, places where it maybe looks dark and maybe it looks hopeless right now, but under the soil, there's a seed, and that seed is getting ready to break forth and bring impact. I believe that with all my heart. I declare that in the name of Jesus. Impacting in your personal life, impact in your family, impact in your community. You see, God's heart is that throughout the scriptures, you see over and over again throughout scripture, God impacting individual lives, God impacting community life, God impacting countries, God just moving globally and doing powerful things. But specifically this morning, I want us just to lean in and learn from Joshua. We've preached through Joshua before, but I want us to go back to Joshua because he is a larger-than-life example for us of living a life of impact. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, whatever form, whether you have the book version or you have it on your phone or if you just want to track on the screen, but I encourage you to open up your Bible and walk with me. But here's the deal. In the sports world and even in the business world, companies, organizations, teams are looking constantly to bring in the impact player, right? The Chiefs would not be where they are right now preparing for the Super Bowl if they wouldn't have drafted an impact player 3 years ago or however long it's been since he's been haunting the Broncos. But if they would not have drafted Patrick Mahomes, he is an impact player. Granted, other players build the team, but the player that changes the game plan of the other team. The individual in the business that raises everyone else up, that's Joshua. And my friend, that can be you. Your platform will be different. Your platform may not be as big. Your platform may not be as public, but the ability to impact is there. Joshua is going to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And whatever happens to Joshua is going to determine what happens to the people. That's impact. Give some thought to this. Moms and dads, whatever happens to you is going to determine what happens to your kids. If you're a student, whatever happens to you in your locker room, in the library, in the cafeteria, if you're a college student, in your dorm, in your apartment, whatever happens to you is going to determine what happens to the people around you. If you're strong for God, if it has an effect. If you're weak, it has an effect. If you're strong for God where you work, if you have a heart of a conqueror, God can use you to impact lives of those that are around you. And God desires to do that. God will give you wisdom. God will open doors for you. God will bring down walls. God will help you to take new territories in your life. We desperately need that in our community. We desperately need people, and we need churches to bring impact to South Central Kansas. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you up for it? Are you willing to say, man, that stirs something within me? That is something that I want to see happen. I want to see it happen in my school. I want to see it happen in my family. I want to see it happen in my church. I want to see it happen in my community and in my neighborhood. The needs within the Wichita metro area, not to go deep in this, but let me just kind of enlighten you to some a reality that the poverty rate of Sedgwick County is 14.7% of the population right here in the center of America, the land of plenty. 14.7% of our population lives below the poverty line. That is higher than the national average. Think about that. And here we are, having the opportunity, having the privilege, having the responsibility of being able to bring impact to people's lives. We learn that the stats, the greatest worries among people in a radius, a 15 to 20 mile radius around Valley Center, the greatest worry that people carry with them is that of finances. The second greatest worry that people bring with them, that they carry with them, is their health and rising health costs. And yet, we have a Savior who can bring impact. We are a church that can bring impact into people's lives and people's needs in those areas. Prayer night 2 weeks ago, we were praying for God to expose the gaps in our community, gaps that are unknown, needs that are unknown, needs that maybe aren't as in the forefront of some of the ones that we can easily find by when we open up a newspaper and we say, okay, these are issues that are common in our community, but these gaps that exist, that God would expose those gaps so that we can bring impact to them. How many know God just doesn't want to shine a light on something so we can say, oh, wow, that's a bummer, that's too bad, we'll deal with that another time maybe or whatever. God exposes stuff because he wants to bring life to that stuff. Look, I need to go where I can go. And other pastors need to go where they can go to bring impact. But you can go where we can't go to bring impact. You are able to speak into people's lives that I'll never have the opportunity to speak into their life. But you can. You will have audiences to talk to that I'll never have the privilege and the honor to talk to. Never, let me just say this, never undervalue the size of your audience. You can change one life, and if you can change one life, you can change a whole lot of people with that one life. I could give you story after story of individuals through the years of ministry, through the opportunities of people that we've had to come into contact and watch God do a work in their life, and God revolutionizes, God transforms their life, and because their life was transformed, the ripple effect that went out from that transformation impacted families, impacted neighborhoods, impacted communities, because God transformed a life. That is part of what made the early church so powerful. People talked about Jesus everywhere they went. I mean, listen, this isn't just a theory. This isn't philosophy. This is life. You know, this is something that should just like, man, I want to be, I don't know about you, but I want to be so in love with Jesus that it's not even a conscious decision of the words that I use or the conversation, but it just flows out of me. And it's just part of my language. It's just part of what I'm sharing. The people were able, the early church was able to take new land and have impacts on life. A heart that knew God was with them, that God was for them, that God was going before them. And the result of that was that it revolutionized the world. I mean, that video that we watched communicated that the impact that we're still living in and that we're bringing to our community. And some of you are privileged to be impacting situations that are just like way beyond you, but God's using you. Man, when I think about this, I'm thinking big. Big for you. Situations changing for you. Situations changing in our community, situations changing. Not only, I rejoice, LifePoint is a healthy church, it's a growing church, but I know there's churches in our community, in our area that aren't experiencing that, and that the impact would just well up within the church of the living God within our community and the surrounding areas. And the impact would just be way beyond one church. Listen, there are social issues that are huge, but the church, God has placed us right in the opportunity to address some of those. I'm reading a book right now that it's a little bit academic. It's challenging for me to read, but I'm enjoying it. And it's about the fastest growing churches in the world. 85% of the fastest growing churches in the world are Pentecostal churches, churches that believe in the power and the manifestation of the Spirit. Pentecostal or charismatic churches. And they're engaged. They're not just believing that. They just don't hold to that. But these churches are engaged not only in the empowerment and the working of the Spirit, but they're engaged in social issues in their communities, and they're bringing answers and they're bringing resources to those communities, and those churches are thriving. Because of the partnership with the power of the Spirit and the willing to engage and bring impact into needs within those communities. So today, if we're going to have an impact, then you need to be strong in the Lord. And that strength is in the Lord and from the Lord. And so Joshua will be our teacher on this topic this morning. Because Joshua impacted both those he was leading and the nations that they were getting ready to step into. And when you read through Deuteronomy and you read through the book of Joshua, there's this phrase that's said over and over again. And for many of you right now, you know the phrase as I even bring up Joshua. It's said to Joshua by Moses. It's said to Joshua by God. It's said to Joshua by those that he was leading, the people of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7, it says this, "And Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it." Joshua, if you're going to take the land, be strong. If you're going to have impact, be strong. Verse 23 of the same chapter, "And the Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you." Be strong. Be impacting. I'm with you. The Lord is speaking now, and he's saying this, Joshua, if you're going to have an impact on the land, if you're going to lead the people around you and help them impact it too, the first thing that you need to do is you need to be strong. You get to the book of Joshua in chapter 6 of the first chapter, you read this, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How many know that when God says something once, it's important? If God says something twice, it's really important. But if God says something three times or more, you better get the peanut butter out of your ears and you better sit up, because God's trying to say, listen, go with me on this. I mean, we should go with him if he says it once or twice, but he's really trying to get the attention of Joshua here. I mean, there's serious volume of what God is communicating to Joshua, the serious volume to what God is communicating to the children of Israel. Man, it's louder than Arrowhead Stadium last Sunday, right? How important is it for us to be strong if God says over and over again to Joshua, if you're going to impact, you have to be strong? You see it later in Joshua chapter 1, verse 17, just as we obeyed Moses in all the things, so we will obey you. This is the children of Israel. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandments and disobeys your words, whatever you commanded shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous, Joshua. How many know people want to follow someone who is valiant? People want to follow someone who is strong. They don't want to follow a weak person. They don't want to follow someone who's not strong. We need to be strong because there are battles, aren't there? How many experienced a little battle this week? I mean, I know you did. Those of you that have been on the Daniel fast probably about Friday afternoon, you're like, man, a ribeye sounds really good right now. And what would it matter? I'm only 36 hours out. Let's just end it now and I'll be happy, right? There's battles with our own flesh. There's battles with the forces of evil. There's battles because we live in a sin-cursed, broken, fallen world. We have to be strong. We have to be strong because strength is the key to victory. There is no victory without strength. And you have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. So if Joshua isn't strong, then guess what's going to happen? Then his army's not going to be strong. They're not going to know victory. If I'm not strong as a pastor in my faith and in my relationship with with the Lord, how is the church going to know victory? If the staff isn't strong in the Lord, how is the church going to know victory? Our walk with God and our strength has ramifications, has consequences in other people's lives, not just our own. And it can bring impact, and that's what our world needs. They need to be impacted by the kingdom of God. So that's what I want to talk to you over the next several minutes. That was all introduction. And I only had one cup of coffee this morning. So I want to give you 10 ways to bring spiritual strength resulting in kingdom impact this morning. Aren't you glad I didn't have one cup per 10? Here we go. Number one, grow in your knowledge of spiritual principles. This is why it's so important to be in church. That we would be a part of something bigger than us. And yes, that implies to our own devotional time and our own relationship with the Lord, but there is something about being together. Do not get into unhealthy patterns, spiritually speaking. And in other areas of our life, obviously, as well. Grow in your knowledge of spiritual principles. And that happens when we're together. That happens when you put yourself in positions to glean from the Word of God. Look, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 5 says this, "The wise are mightier than the strong, and those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger." May I say stronger? The mightiest person in the room isn't the person who can deadlift 400 pounds. The mightiest person in the room is the one who is wise in the things of God. It's a different economy. I like what one person said. What is the use of a man being able to lift 500 pounds over his head in a show if he can't lift a finger to help his wife in the kitchen? Let's go on. Right? The more knowledge you get, the stronger you get. The more you hear God's word and apply it to your life, the stronger you become. You're able to bring impact when that's happening. That is why we do what we do. I mean, that is why we gather on Sundays together, because we know that we're growing stronger together. That is why we do things like a prayer service tonight, because there is life there. There is help there. There is this elevating that happens because we're in the presence of God bringing our petitions before the one who can answer them. That is why we do things like a Daniel fast. It's not because we want to get rid of the Christmas junk food that we ate and get a flat tummy again. It's because we want to position ourselves in spiritual relationship and in pursuit of God, because we know that that will bring impact in our life. And if it brings impact into our life, it's going to bring impact to the lives around us. So we pursue Him, allowing yourself to be in the presence of God. And when you are in His presence, it feeds your spirit, it strengthens you, and that brings impact. Secondly, live in God's word and let His word live in you. Look at it, verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. Want to prosper? Want to have good success? Want to see spiritual impact in your life and the lives of other people? Want to have God go before you? What is God saying to Joshua? You need to do, Joshua. Joshua, you need to be thinking about the word of God. You need to be meditating upon the word of God. God, you need to be considering the word of God in your way. Steve, you say that all the time. Well, God says it all the time through His word, right? You aren't going to meditate on it if you can't see it, if you can't hear it, if you can't read it, if you're not exposing yourself to it. Get the word of God in you and live in the word. And what God will do will blow you away. God promises Joshua, it will make your way prosperous. He's not talking about a prosperity gospel or anything. That's not what I'm talking about at all. He will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How many know God will take care of you? God wants to take care of you. God longs to take care of you, and God will take care of you. He promises that. In other words, it's going to bring impact into your life, and watch strength rise up in you when that happens. Number three is give glory to God. How many know we just spent, 10, 15 minutes after, you know, the announcements and tithe and offering. I mean, all of it's worship, but we spent about 10, 15 minutes just singing songs, singing worship unto the Lord. We're worshiping God. We're glorifying God. We're praising God. All of that strengthens our faith. The song service isn't preliminary. It's crucial. When you're singing, when you're looking at the words on that screen or in a book, whatever the mode of getting those words to you, I want to submit to you that when you're looking at those words, when you're proclaiming those words, something is happening in you and you're becoming stronger. But Steve, I worry about what I sound like. And if you sat next to me, Steve, you would worry about what I sound like. No, I wouldn't, because I worry about what I sound like. I make sure my mic's off. Look, God doesn't care what you sound like. God loves what you sound like. It makes you stronger. I was thinking earlier this morning while I was praying and just praying through the message, I was thinking about a lady in one of our churches, and she always sat like in this row right behind me, and a little bit inside or a little bit outside of me, or maybe the next two rows behind me. And it was a smaller sanctuary. And I tell you what, I can't remember the artist that sings Sweet Miss Betsy that sings off key, that country song, you know what I'm talking about? I can't remember but anyway, doesn't matter. That was her. She was in my church. She became famous in a song. Not really, it wasn't really her, but man, I tell you what, it was just like, oh, let's get the sound guy to turn the volume up a little bit, because it was horrendous. But man, she didn't care. She worshiped God with an abandonment. And my guess is God is just like, oh, man, you hear that? Oh, man, that sounds so good. It's going to sound a lot better when she gets to heaven. But right now, it sounds really good. Right? Just leaning. God loves a heart of a worshiper. Giving glory to God involves more than worship. It means that you are worshiping God. When you're doing that, that you believe this: God does impossible things. You are praising him before he has done it. Anyone can praise God after he's answered your prayer request, after he's broke through in a devastating situation. Anyone can. It's easy to praise God then, but it's before God has intervened that an impactor, that a conqueror praises. The key to impacting the land is to praise God before you take the land. Remember, giants were in the land that Joshua was getting ready to step over. And you think about all the heroes of faith. And Paul writes this in Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. I want to read it to you from the Message paraphrase, but it says this: when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made a father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you are going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus on his impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promises, asking cautiously skeptical questions. How many have ever done that? God, it seems like it'd be impossible for you to provide in the midst of this situation. I don't know how you're going to do it. It's the bills due in 4 hours. I don't know how it's going to happen. God, you can't do it. God, I don't think that you can change so-and-so's life. That's impossible. I know them. They say one thing, but they mean something totally different. And God, you can't change that. That's impossible. Skeptical questions. And he plunged into the promise. And what's it say? And came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. And then verse 20 says, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave what? The baby hadn't showed up. The baby wasn't even in the oven. And Abraham's walking in. Hey, Sarah, guess what? God's gonna answer his promise. You're going to be pregnant. God's coming through. And we know the rest of the story. I can think about times in my life, a season in my life when we were in Topeka and the church was experiencing just a challenging season. The giving was down. I don't know. I think it was during the summertime or whatever. And the giving was like in a crisis moment. We had some big expenses that had come up. And our lead pastor was like, listen, man, we have word like this is what we have. And these are expenses coming up. And God, we just need a breakthrough. And I can remember going to church early in the morning. And the church was just south of downtown Topeka, or downtown in Topeka. And I would get out the extension ladder, and I would put it up against the sanctuary building, and I would go up on top of the roof, and I would just make a place of prayer. I'd walk up on top of the roof just praying, God, we need a breakthrough. God, we need you to show up. God, I thank you that you're a God who provides. God, that you do great things when it seems like an impossibility. And lo and behold, God showed up in incredible ways. That's what it means to give glory to God. It will strengthen your faith and enable you to impact our community and your community. Number four, keep your joy in God. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says this: for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hey, you got to get joy. You got to get joy in your heart. Where do you get that joy? I'm not talking about happiness, because happiness will change. I'm talking about something deep, not dependent on circumstances. That's what you want. Psalm 16, verse 11 says this, "In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Sign me up on that. Let me just encourage us. Get into the presence. Get in the presence of God. Get around the people of God. That's why life groups are so important for all of us. That's why, you know, connecting, not just on Sunday mornings, it's important to have you here, but more and beyond that, get around people who talk with joy. And guess what happens when we get around people like that? Guess what? You begin to feel joy. You get around people who celebrate God. And guess what will happen? You will begin to celebrate God. The small things, the big things, all of it's just like, man, something's just resonating in me. Get around people who look at things through the eyes of faith, and you will begin to do likewise. Amen? Excuse me. Psalms 43:4, it says this, "Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy." God, give me joy. We had a lady when we were youth pastors in southern Missouri. There was a lady in our church, Mrs. Duffy, and Mrs. Duffy, you know, she seemed like she was in her 80s. I don't think she was that old at the time, but she was just a precious just lady and loved Jesus. And she would walk in and she would always say to me, "And don't you dare," I'm like, "Don't you dare do this to me." And she would walk in and she would look at me and she'd go, "Hey, Pastor Steve." And we'd interact a little bit, but as she got to know me, she'd walk in and she would say, "Hey, Smiley." Because if you know me, I'm a pretty serious guy. I mean, I'm just like, you know, I like to have fun, but I'm pretty serious. And she would go, "Hey, Smiley." And how do you respond when a dear old lady says, "Hey, Smiley"? You scowl at her? What do you do, right? And so it just bring this smile on my face. But that was just an outflow of who she was. Man, she was a lady of incredible joy, and it splashed off on me. To where I'm like, yeah, you're right. I got to remember to tell my face that I have a whole lot of things to be thankful for and joyful for. Amen? And if you say, I have a mirror in my pocket, and if you say you need to smile more, I'll just hold that mirror up. And no, I'm just kidding. But it's so true. And I'm thankful that she would say that to me, because I grew and I still need to grow with that. But cultivate joy in your life. If you want to walk, you can't walk by faith and be a pessimist. If you want impact, cultivate joy. If you want impact, number five, pray. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, 41, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but what? The flesh is weak." You want strength in your life? Pray. You want to bring impact in your life? Pray. If you want impact to flow out of your life, pray. Pray that you will be strong. Pray that you will bring impact. Number six, allow God to strengthen you. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. I love this verse. I think it was our life verse a couple weeks ago, but it says this, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong." It's interesting as you look at that, as you dissect that passage of Scripture, and especially that word, be strong. It's a command, and it's a command in the passive tense. So the idea is this: it isn't something you do, but something God does in you. Oh man, that's just like, oh, that becomes a possibility then. I think of some friends of ours that are going through a really trying time right now. They have their daughter that they had adopted from another country was just diagnosed with cancer. She's not even a teenager yet, and she was diagnosed with this cancer, and it's so, as we've talked with them a little bit, and as we've seen their posts on Facebook, it's so fun to watch them, knowing where they are today versus where they were several years ago when we were privileged to be their pastors. And you see this strength in them and flowing out of them. And as they see things that are unfolding, not only in their own, with their daughter, but also within the areas that they find themselves in the hospital as they're going through chemo, that you see this declaration, you see this impact happening in their own life, that they're growing strong and they're relying on the strength that the Lord has placed within them, but also that's impacting other people. Let God make you strong. God wants you to be strong. God wants you to be strong in your home. He wants you to be strong with your friends, in your school, in your marriage, in your place of work. He wants you to be strong in church. God wants you to be strong. He delights in taking weak people and making them strong. Aren't you glad? Taking people in their weakness and breathing upon them and moving them forward to do what they could never do on their own. And because of that, he gets all the glory. Let God make you strong. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit." God is the one who makes us strong. And here's the deal. I love this. God commands us to do something. God is commanding us to be strong, and then he does it in us. You aren't on your own. You're not on your own to bring this impact. It's God saying, "Hey, I want you to do this." It's you stepping towards that, and then it's God doing it through you. Isn't that awesome? It's number 7. Serve God with a wholehearted commitment. It's this, "Man, God, I'm full on." What will keep you and keep us from knowing the strength and the impact of the Lord in our life is being divided in your commitments. Look, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says this, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." How awesome is that? That God is going, "Who can I strengthen today?" It isn't just you looking to God to strengthen you, but God is looking out and looking around going this, "Who can I pour my strength in today? How does Mary need my strength today? I want to pour my strength into Mary. How does Vicky need my strength today? I want to pour my strength into Vicky today because she is wholeheartedly committed to me, and I love her, and my love for her is not dependent upon her commitment to me, but I want to pour my strength upon her." How awesome is that? He wants you to impact. He wants us to impact. Number 8, by faith. Hebrews 11, it's the hall of fame of faith. You know, by faith Enoch did this, and by faith Abraham did this, and by faith Moses did this, and by faith Noah did this, and the list goes on and on. Verse 33 says this, "By faith these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to what? Strength. They became what? Strong in battle and put whole armies to flight." God loves to take us at the point of our weakness and make us strong. God loves to take you at the point of where some of you came in this morning and you're like, "Man, I feel like I am at the end of my rope." And God would say to you, "I love to take you at the end of your rope and make you strong." God is just saying to you, will you just start praising me even before the victory? Will you start praising me even though you don't see victory right now? Will you start praising me because of who I am and you know that I'm working for you in the midst of your situation? Will you start praising me before the victory? Would you allow me to strengthen you? Because that's what's going to happen when you begin to do that. Be full on in your commitment to me. Continue to call on me. God delights in doing that, and he does it when you believe him by faith. I love this. This passage of scripture is my life verse. It's my theme verse for this year, I think. Came across it the other day. Man, it just resonated within me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases you, pleases him. I love that. God, I thank you that you're working in me. And God, you want to give me the desire and you want to give me the power to do that which pleases you. Because you know within me, I don't have the desire all the time. I know I don't have the power all the time, but you want to give that to me so that I can please you. Isn't that good news? Man. That's so good. Number 9, the words we speak. Let me ask you, what words are you speaking? Proverbs 18:21, the message puts it this way. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. The power of life and death, Scripture tells us, are where? In the tongue. We determine by the way we talk whether we're going to have a heart of an impactor or a heart of defeat. If Joshua would have come out and said to the children of Israel, look, guys, I'm not a good leader. I'm terrible. Man, I'm like weak and I don't want to lead and I really don't like some of you and you know, I saw a lot of flaws in Moses and I saw his weak points and you know, you guys are all weak too and they're giants over there and we're just pretty much in trouble. How many of you know that's not going to fly? Ask yourself, do you believe God can help you in the situation that you find yourself in right now? Do you believe God can help you in that situation? That he will or that he won't? If you believe that he will, I want to encourage you, speak accordingly. Talk as if God is for you. I've said this before, but outside of prayer, your most important conversation that you will have is with yourself. What do you tell yourself about yourself? What do you tell others about themselves? Don't weaken yourself for the battle. There's a great clip from the movie Cool Running. It's an older movie, but a Jamaican bobsled team. Hey, ma, you know. But one of the guys is a little bit timid. He's a great sprinter, but he's really timid. And the scene unfolds. They're in a bar, and little Junior is like one of the other bobsled teams from Sweden or whatever is like kind of mocking the Jamaican bobsled. Hey, you Jamaicans, you don't belong here, you know, or whatever his accent was. That wasn't a very good Sweden accent. But anyway, you know, they're mocking him. And little Junior spouts off and the guy comes over and like gets in his face and talks down to him and Junior backs down immediately. And one of the other Jamaican bobsled guys, he's really tough and you know, he's intimidating and he grabs Junior and he drags him into the bathroom and he tells him to look into the mirror and he says, you need to tell yourself some things. And it goes into this conversation. At some point, you have to say, I believe God is going to help me. We are in it for a miracle. I believe that God can do a breakthrough. I believe God is doing something miraculous among me, in my family, in this situation, in my church. I declare that. I believe it, and I'm waiting for it. Or do you just sit back? Are you going to believe it? And are you going to speak it? You say, well, Steve, I'm just being real. That's just who I am. I'm just real. That's fine, because there's times we have to be that way. But you will never change anything. Listen to me this morning. You'll never change anything by speaking the defeat that is on the inside of you. Doubt dies if left unexpressed, but it grows every time you question God's goodness. Speak words of faith. God will help me. God will bring forth an answer in this situation. God is going to help my son, or God is going to help my wife, or God is faithful. He was faithful to me in this situation. He came through then, and I don't understand, and I hate this season that I am, but I know that God is my remedy. God has the answer. God has the way, and I'm going to walk in that. And God, you know my heart. I want a heart that worships you and is pure before you. And so, Lord God, I pray for a pure heart in the midst of this situation, but I know that you're working. And we're going to impact this community. And I'm going to see you move. I'm going to see you provide breakthrough in this situation. If the worship team would come. I believe, not only for LifePoint, but I believe for other churches in our community and in our state, for across America, man, we're going to see impact in the community. Our words will either strengthen us or they'll weaken us. Find a kid, find someone that says, I can't do that. I'm not good at that. I can't do that. I won't do that. What do they begin to do? They begin to shrink into that and then then the I can't becomes their answer to everything, right? My dad always used to say to Steve, can't never did anything. That's a proverb of Bob. Number 10, finally, is pray in the Holy Spirit. Some of you are like, oh, here we go again. I love everything about LifePoint Church, but this little thing. Listen to what Jude says, verse 20. But you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith. How? By praying in the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to impact in supernatural ways, then you need a supernatural connection with God. And praying in the Spirit, being baptized in the Spirit provides that. I depend on the Holy Spirit. This morning I was thinking about it in prayer. During worship, I just broke into a moment of just praying in the Spirit. God, because I know that I can't do what I'm being asked to do in my own ability. I can't do I can't bring the answers that you need in my own ability. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can bring and God can deposit and God can do things that man can never do. Strengthening yourself in the most holy faith, Jude says, by praying in the Spirit. God wants to impact your life. God wants you to impact the lives that He has around you and the land. In the words of Joshua, that He set before you. Let me ask you this morning as we bring this to a close. What is God calling you to possess? What is God calling you to impact? And are you ready to impact? Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might.
Everybody dance. Everybody. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.